The following podcast is brought to you by Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. Just 45 minutes from downtown Toronto, you'll find the most beautiful and affordable public golf course in Ontario. What do they offer at Crosswinds? Well, outstanding customer service for one, million-dollar views, fabulous food and beverages, terrific practice facilities, and of course, a championship golf course that's always in beautiful condition. And if you book your tee time online rather than by phone, like, why should you bother them? Like, having that, you know what? Like, I got to answer this phone. No. The phone, what's that? It's archaic. It's just text me, just online. Okay. If you book your tee time online, you save $10 per golfer. So that's $40 per foursome by my calculations. And that's enough to have lunch, a beer at the Back Nine Bistro. Have it out. Go to it. Crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time now. Save some dough. And when you get there, make sure you tell them that Hebsy sent you. Now, Mike, let's start the podcast. Hey, sports fans, welcome to Hebsy on Sports, episode 297. Oh, what a day. What a week this has been. This is just nuts. Nothing's updating here. There was a power failure like 3 blocks. If I lived 3 blocks south of where I am, I would have, you know, my refrigerator would have gone down.
The other side of college.
Down the street. So, you know, I'm lucky there. And now this morning we got some wonky stuff. This shouldn't concern you as a listener. Not in the least bit. Okay. It's been a very strange and not so wonderful week. Toronto Mike joining me from the mothership today on the show, the Blue Jays. Who, I don't know, when was the last time they played? Like last week? When the heck? It's like 2 days in a row without Blue Jay baseball. It's like, I've, you know, heroin addicts out there are like, oh, we know how you feel, man. We're jonesing. The Jays host the Cleveland Guardians in a 3-game series tonight at the Dome. I had tickets for this one, second row, but I did a swap because an 8-year-old kid from Brazil from Spain, who's never seen a Blue Jays game before I switched them. I swapped them for the Cubs series. We'll see the Cubs. Anyway, again, that's not something you need to know about. The Blue Jays had better get their shit together because they got a bunch of teams in the rearview mirror. It's like one of those, oh, geez, everybody's gaining on me here. Do they have what it takes to get the job done with their wonky pitching? We'll discuss at length. Only one Canadian left standing at the National Bank Open, and that's not even the one here in Toronto. It's in Montreal. Why do they have this tournament in 2 different cities at the same time? Every other tournament. All right, every other tournament, the men and the women play at the same venue. Last week they did. Next week they will. Week after that, U.S. Open. They all in the Here, are we in Montreal? Are we in Toronto? I'm watching tennis. I'm like, the men, where are they this week? This year, enough. And while I'm at it, do I have to subscribe to every single fucking streaming service and cable service if I want to watch a sporting event? I'm telling you, the bill comes in at the end of the month. I'm what the heck? Why can't I just pick and choose? Like, can I watch the Bianca match, or do I have to have Sportsnet 720 or TSN 11? By the way, are you someone who cheers when a tennis player double faults? I think it's classless. A lot of people agree, but several disagree too. It's a good discussion to have. Like, I don't know. Would you cheer if a guy missed a 2-foot putt? You know, it's a bit different maybe than missing a field goal or a free throw. But anyway, we'll talk about that. Anybody interested in the World Junior Hockey Championship? Anybody? No. And the owner of the Nashville Predators is a bad, bad man. The soon to be majority owner of the Nashville Predators is really bad. This guy should be investigated by the National Hockey League. And if I'm a Nashville Predators fan, I'm very upset by this story. Very upset. And number 6. Joins numbers 42 and 99 as being permanently retired by a professional sports league. It's all coming up at first. Toronto Mike joining us, the father of a future Olympian. Your daughter, Morgan, scored for Morgan. First of all, is a great name for a soccer player.
Yes.
Fantastic name for a soccer player. 4 goals last night.
She was on fire. Like the final score was 5-1. She scored 4 goals, but they were like 3 of them were just like 6-year-old girl beauties. You know what I mean? Like I was really proud of her last night. It was wild. Yeah. And she was very proud of herself too, because she wears number 4 on her back. So she was kind of excited that she matched her number there. But future Olympian Morgan.
Right. 2036 Olympics. She's on the roster already. I got her. But here's my question.
Yeah.
All right. And it says, I have a little note here. It says, your internet connection is unstable. And now it just went away.
Yeah.
It's supposed to scare me.
Don't worry. We have a contingency plan. Good. I'm going to do a Hebsy impression.
Okay. Anyway, it's great. Great to see that Morgan got four goals. That's excellent. 2036 Olympics. Fabulous. Right.
We'll be there.
All right. The next two Thursdays, we're going to have this show as opposed to Friday because we're scheduled around. You don't need to know the details of this. But so if you're looking for us next Friday, we'll have already have done the show. So by next Friday morning, if you happen to tune in live, you're like, oh, we'll have already done the show Thursday. It's one of those things where you want to have a three-day weekend and, you know, weak internet connections. You're not sure, you know, they have dial-up up there, you know.
Well, no. We have problems when you're in Toronto. So right. What's the difference?
It's one of those things.
So again, next Friday, we're not live. We're live next Thursday.
Right.
Thursday.
But you could listen Friday if you want, but it'll.
Yeah, as a podcast. Don't go to the YouTube, unless you want to watch the replay. Okay, so what day is that? I feel like we need to be super specific here. Okay, 18th.
18th.
So we're live 9 a.m. on the 18th of August. Join us at the same place here, Hebsy's YouTube channel.
Correct.
All right, good.
There you go. Okay. it's been a very my mom's still in ICU, not doing really well, so it's I need distractions, you need to have a distraction, man. And so the distractions this week have been, you know, trying to figure out what, like, is the game on, is the match on, and by the way, I'm in my Twitter feed, there's this thing from Woodbine Racetrack. This is an aside, all right, you know, these little promos, and it's this young lady, and she's showing off this new terrace. It's the, what's the beer that I drink sometimes? Stella Artois. It's the Stella Terrace, I think it's called. At Woodbine. Really nice.
Yeah, like a patio.
Yeah, beautiful. And she's showing the food and the views and all that. And there's one where she's at the table. I don't know. I've never seen this young lady. She works for some marketing department or whatever. And she says, what a great place to sit and watch the matches. And I said, this is horse racing, remember. She's, what a great place to sit and watch the matches.
Oh, she says that? That's so
strange. Yeah. And they captioned it as well. And they didn't catch it in the edit or whatever. And I'm thinking whoever edited this or whatever is like, have no idea. The races. It's the, and she does refer to it as the races earlier in this little piece. But later it's like, what a great place to sit and watch the matches. And I went, oh,
that's hilarious.
It was just too funny. And I was going to do a whole Twitter thing. And I thought, no, Mark, just because you're angry and frustrated about one thing doesn't mean you should be taking it out on the Twitterverse because of, you know, a missed piece of information. The other one is I've been listening to this podcast, really good podcast. I really shouldn't name it. I don't want to call the guy out, but it's the history of the band. Like really good all the way back to the Ronnie Hawkins days and the Honks and when they were with Dylan and all this. Really well done, except the narrator. And I don't know if he's from Toronto or whatever, but he makes two huge mistakes in it. One is he refers to Bruce Cockburn as Bruce Cockburn.
Oh,
right? Because he's talking about that era, when folk music, when, and he goes, Bruce Cockburn. And so immediately I'm like, ugh. And then the other one was there was a place where they used to play. I was actually there. It was called Le Coq d'Or, right? Le Coq is, coq is French for chicken, right?
Didn't that
and door,
become
and door is gold. Door is gold.
Is that 333 Young?
Le Coq d'Or. So anyway, and it was a little, you know, chicken on there. Anyway, it's like the golden chicken, right? The Le Coq d'Or. So this guy calls it Le Coq d'Or or something, like he mispronounces it.
Right.
And I could understand if it was a foreign term that was, you know, I don't know, he was trying to translate Mandarin or something that was a little more difficult to get into English, that type of thing. But if you're going to pronounce the name of a place, you should know the pronunciation. So I sort of gave him a pass on that one, Le Coq d'Or, like, okay, cook, right? Is French for chicken.
Yes.
Anyway, so I hear these two sort of in episodes. I can't listen to it anymore now because I don't know. I feel as if I should get in touch with the guy to say, listen, you know, I know you can't re-record this now, but man, you should find a way because it really inhibits, you have no credibility. You did all this research and all that, right? But I mean, come on, it's Bruce Cockburn. Right. It's not like some hump that's like had one, like never had a hit record or anything. This is Bruce Cockburn, not Bruce Cockburn. Anyway, that's the aside there.
Oh, I love the asides, Hebsy. You know that.
Glad you do. You know the movie Bull Durham, right?
Of course.
And I know there's Field of Dreams shit going on this weekend and I'm coming out of the cornfield and Ray Liotta just died recently and it makes it more poignant. And Joey Votto was there. His father died 14 years ago and they used to play catch together. I get all that stuff. Right. And that's not the best Kevin Costner baseball movie. Not even close. Bull Durham's the best. And so in the movie, if you recall, when the Durham Bulls are on a losing streak and Costner says they need a rainout, the guys go, oh, we need a rainout. And he goes, I can get you a rainout. He goes, I can get you a rainout. It's hot. It hasn't rained in like 3 weeks. They're going, what are you talking about? And then they break in with their six packs into the ballpark and he turns the sprinkler system on and it floods the whole field. And then they play, you know, I Got Loaded by Los Lobos, and they're running the bases and sliding in the water and all that shit. Right.
Right.
So I'm thinking this is what the Blue Jays needed. This is what they needed. It was like they lost the first two games in Baltimore, like Baltimore, because we're going, oh, we got 17 games left with Baltimore. We're going to kick the shit out of Baltimore. Baltimore! And they just traded away Mancini and another guy, I can't think who it was. Anyway, they traded like two of their best players away. So they're Baltimore's already, they're sellers, man. They're not going for anything. Meanwhile, we lose the first two games. And I'm thinking to myself, this team could really use, this team could use a rain. I swear to you, this team could use a rainout. Okay? Just what the weatherman ordered or whatever.
Right.
They got that rainout Wednesday, all right? So now Berrios, who's supposed to pitch Wednesday and is terrible on the road, horrible on the road. You're going, geez, can he get through three innings on the road, right? And we're going to have to use up our bullpen. Now you don't have to worry about this, right? You got your rainout. Yesterday you had a day off. You know, Bo and Santi go and watch the tennis. And guys are relaxing. They're chilling. They're taking it easy. They start a series with Cleveland tonight. But they needed that kind of break there because they needed the rainout. Like, they really did need the rainout. So right. Now, no excuses. I know George Springer's injured again. I know I've gone over this a million times. I was on his case all last year, and I kept saying he's too fragile. And he is, but still, better now. Take the 10-day DL, take 15, whatever, IL, I mean, whatever it takes for George to come back, not as a fielder. I don't want to see him out there in the outfield. I just don't. Okay? Merrifield's doing fine. He'll be fine. Jackie Bradley Jr., he'll be fine. Jackie Bradley Zimmer is our new center fielder. I found that the other day. And wait a minute, Jackie Bradley Zimmer. It's two guys. One's a left-hand hitter, one's a right-hander. Both excellent fielders. Both horrible hitters. It's perfect. But can you combine them into one guy, Jackie Bradley Zimmer? Perhaps not. Anyway, so the Orioles are breathing down our necks. We got the Cleveland Guardians coming in this weekend, who are in their own battle for the Central Division lead. They're leading. They're 1.5 games up on the Twins in the Central Division. So whoever's not leading is going to be in the wild card battle. And the Jays are sitting atop the wild card, but they're only a half game up on Seattle, who, by the way, got this game-winning hit from Carlos Santana. And I don't think I mentioned it before, Mike, did I, on this particular show? How desperately the Jays needed a guy like Carlos Santana, that left-handed power bat, that 300 lifetime hitter guy. What does he do? He's with Seattle now, and they're like a half game behind us. And if they pass us, that means we're not going to have home field advantage in the wild card, if we even make the wild card.
So, and he just played the Budweiser stage.
He did. Who was he with?
So
he was in Toronto. Carlos Santana.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Wow. So we got Berrios going tonight. Okay. He's great at home, terrible on the road. We got the break. We got the rain out. We got to push back a day, 2 days actually, because of the off day. And now he goes tonight against Canadian Cal Quantrill for Cleveland. Canadian Cal Quantrill for Cleveland. Okay. My voice exercises are done. He's a pretty good pitcher too. So Springer on the IL. So you got Whit Merrifield, who in his first five games for the Blue Jays is involved in 10 controversial plays. The triple play the other night that wasn't, but boy, that was close, man. I think if Merrifield sells it better, right, we might get that triple play call. I know the replay that was wild. And then the two plays at the one at third and the one at the play where he like, there's like a 1 nanosecond difference between safe and out. And then the call was reversed, which was crazy. That was nuts. That was crazy. Like Merrifield was so smart there. He just slid right into the guy's shin pads and said, he didn't give me a lane. And Gary Sanchez was dumb enough, I guess, to like not heed the rule. And he stepped into fair territory too early. And that's a wacko call. That's nuts. Like when we won the game on that, I was like, phew.
But I was curious what you thought of the call, because I guess they called it right, but it does look like there's a lane. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
Well, it's a very vague rule. it's subject to incredible interpretation. In other words, could Sanchez have stayed with both feet in fair territory and reached out and caught that ball? The answer is yeah, but now it's an awkward way to catch it and then have to sweep tag, right? Your natural instinct is to move into the path that the ball is going to. So you catch it at a spot where you don't have to reach way the heck up, for example, and then come down. Right. You want to catch it in the best possible position, the way you would block a pitch. So instinctively, you're going to go, you're not going to go, oh, I can't go too far to my left. Look down to see if your foot is in foul territory or stuff like that. So that's a wacko call. That's just nuts. It was the correct call by definition of the rule, but the rule needs to be changed, or I don't know. It's supposed to stop there from being a collision at the plate and injuries. But in fact, that's exactly what happened.
Well, we'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll take it. By the way, if you ever hear someone use the expression back catcher again,
I'd use that.
Don't. And remind them that the term is catcher, not back catcher. Don't, you don't have to berate them. Hey, just say it's catcher. The same way you would say to someone who said, excuse me, Sergeant, it's Lieutenant.
A little different than that.
Nope. Same thing.
Nope. Even if you were as a
nope,
kid.
No, you got it wrong. No, you've got it wrong. It's right. It's catcher. The catcher. Do you ever hear in Major League game, the back catcher? No. So stop it with that. Folks, stop it. It's wrong. It's like these tennis fans who just don't know the rules or the, not even the subtleties of it. You know, what's that? Love. What's that mean? You explain it and there you go. Okay, right? Sweet. It's not higher love. Is it 40 love? Does that mean higher love? That's like back. It's not back catcher. It's catcher. That's all.
Okay. No, I hear you. I've heard this.
Don't rant. Use back catcher.
Because heaven forbid, even though, you know, we were raised with that term.
Who like was I, raised with that
I,
term?
I, for one.
Well, whoever taught you that term was wrong.
Yeah, in school, you, that term was used.
What do you mean in school? Like who taught you that term? Who? Who was the one who said it?
Who knows? Maybe a softball coach or two. Bullshit. Or maybe a gym teacher too.
No softball. It was around. Coach. No certified softball coach would ever call it a back.
I don't think they were certified at all the right, okay, Muse. Yeah.
All right. Okay. I see my point. It's just one of those little niggling things.
I hear you. I hear you. But okay. I do slip up and say back catcher. Period.
Don't,
because I was raised with it.
But I'm telling you, if you hear someone say it's catcher,
I'll tell them that Hebsy wants to talk to you.
It's catcher. In tennis, the men are in Montreal. The women are in Toronto. They're playing the tournament simultaneously. I hate this. I never liked this. Never. This is the only tournament in the world where the tournaments are going on simultaneously in the same country, looking for the same eyeballs. You're trying to get the same eyeballs. Felix is on. No, Bianca's on. No. Why? Last week, the city opened in Washington. Men and women. Yeah. At the same venue. I know it sounds crazy.
Same city.
It's in Washington, D.C. every year. They don't go, okay, this week it's in Washington. Next year it's in Baltimore. No, they don't. But in Canada, it's like, oh, and the people in Vancouver, meanwhile, they're pissed because all they get is a $50,000 challenger tournament next week with Jeannie Bouchard and Rebecca Marino. And nothing against them, but, you know, you want to see the best. You like to see the best players in the world, and you think that your city, you know, should have that. And I agree that Vancouver should have part of that. So either make this a rotating thing, Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me if it's not in Toronto and I can watch it, but I want to be able to see the matches. You know what I mean? Like at the same, like not, if I'm not nobody fighting for Felix is playing in Montreal there and I got, and Bianca's over there. That's wrong. And the other one is, since Rogers has the Jays as well, thank God they were rained out the other night that everybody got to see Bianca.
Right.
If not, it's on the Food Network or Sportsnet 1080 or whatever the fuck, right? Like, really? Like, you were the one who told me, Mike, you were like, oh, you don't have TSN2. Right. You don't have Sportsnet 1. You don't have Sportsnet 360. These are all, you can't even buy these like a la carte, the matches a la carte. Like, you can't just go, I'll pay $5 right now. Here's my $4.99. I want to watch Bianca.
Well, you'd have to buy.
But give it to me one way. Give it to me. Make it all streaming services and I'll pay however. But not all this, because I got in streaming. I had a note here with all my streaming services. Listen to this.
I would love.
I got Amazon Prime. I got Amazon Prime. I got Apple. I got Fubo. I got DAZN. I got Sportsnet and TSN, of course. Holy cheese, man!
It adds up, man. And this is, I think I had a rant about this recently too. It's all adding up. I think it was about like if they move the TFC matches to some new streaming service or whatever. Like a guy like me is tapping out. Like, enough is enough. I'm tapping out. Like, I just don't love the sport enough. Although I am going Saturday, so I'll see everybody at TFC Saturday. Right. But that's different. But
this Toronto Montreal thing. I mean, come on. Like, you know, I get it. Have it all at the same. I mean, think about this too. Last week they're all in Washington. So now as they're leaving, they're going, okay, see you next week. And going, no, we're going to Montreal. You guys are going to Toronto. But we'll see you the week after that in Cincinnati. And we'll see you the week after that at the U.S. Open.
But what is it you hate about this?
I don't like the fact that you've got it in two different places. Have it all in the same place.
But that makes
like every other week, like every other tournament.
Yeah. But this way, if you hear me out, this way, two different cities, two big cities in Canada, get to see elite professional tennis live in their backyard.
Yeah, with the Canadians, right? Like, for example, if this was all taking place in Montreal or all in Toronto, then the people there would go, oh, so we got Felix at least in the quarters. Here in Toronto, we got nothing.
But we'll have Felix next year.
We don't know if we'll have Felix next year.
Oh, yeah, but we know we'll have men. Yeah, we'll have
but men only. But I'm saying, though, people in Washington are like, oh, are you going to watch the women's or the men? Oh, I think I'll watch that. I think I'll watch over there, and then I'll go over there and watch this man, and I'll go over. And next week in Cincinnati, the same thing. I think I'll go watch Swiatek. Oh, I think I'll go watch Nadal or whatever. But no, not here. Here in Toronto, if you've got tickets for the quarterfinals tonight or the semifinals tomorrow or the finals on Sunday, you ain't got Bianca. You got no Serena. You got no Swiatek, the number one seed. You don't have the 2 seed, the 3 seed, the 4 seed, the 5 seed, or the 6 seed. You got nothing. Okay? And people were leaving in droves the other night, even after the Serena match, when Serena lost. People just fucked right up. They didn't wait for Bianca. You know why? Because it's like 8 o'clock or 8:30 or 9 o'clock or whatever the hell it was. And now, by the time they get everybody off the court, and then they bring on the next two competitors, of which one was your hometown hero, Bianca, and they do their warm-ups and introductions. People are going, I won't get home until 11, 11:30, midnight. It's the middle of the week. And they left. Half the play. The place was, I won't say half, but people who were there told me that a lot of people left after Serena lost. They think they went, right? And that happens, you know, sometimes with tennis. So to me, if you've got other action going on other courts, for example, that night, because you've got the men in the draw as well, right? People have the choice now. I go, oh, geez, Bianca's eliminated. Let's go over there and watch Felix, because that's what would happen. That's what would be happening if all of them were in Toronto. You got me?
Yeah, just do me a favor. Don't read the comments on your YouTube channel after this, because you're on your own here. Your fan base disagrees passionately with this take. In fact, one tennis-loving fan says, worst take ever.
Fucking get the fuck out. Fuck right off, okay? Okay? Best take ever because, like I told you,
worst take ever.
If I had tickets for the matches in Toronto, I'd be going, man, anybody want tickets? But if the men were here as well, I'd be going, man, I got Felix. The place is alive. The place has got a buzz to it. There's something going on.
Fuck Montreal. No,
that's right. Fuck Montreal this year. And then next year they can go fuck Toronto. And then the year after that, then Vancouver. My point is this. Either rotate the cities every year, but have everybody in the same city, like they do in Washington, like they do in Rome, like they do in Paris, like they do at Wimbledon, like they do at Australia, like they do at the U.S. Open, like they do everywhere else. No, in Canada, we're fighting for your eyeballs. I don't like it. Okay? And I also don't like the fact that Leila Fernandez. She's in a commercial for this new Google Pixel phone.
Yeah.
You see this commercial?
Yes, I have.
What does she say at the very beginning of the commercial?
Leila.
Yeah. Now, this is me. Maybe I'm crazy, Mike.
Yeah.
But when I want to know the pronunciation of someone's name, mm-hmm. I go to the horse's mouth.
Right.
And then when the horse, in this case, Leila.
Leila.
Says her name. I say, how do you pronounce your name? And she says on the commercial, for everyone to hear, I'm Leila Fernandez. What the fuck is that all about?
It's her name, right?
Like right. So everyone's going, Leila, Leila. And I'm going, she says that her name is Leila. should she make an announcement? Is the commercial not enough? And what is all this about? Like, are you telling me that no one ever went to her before and said, how do you pronounce your name? Well, we've been saying it wrong all along, but she's too nice to correct us. Is that what it is? Honestly, I'm telling you, I'm killing myself laughing at this thing.
Shout out to Leila.
Leila. I know in her head she's going, fucking Leila for fuck's sake. Haven't you seen the commercials? And, you know.
Hey, but now that I've heard her say her name, I have made the switch in my head now.
I have too. She's Leila Fernandez. Leila. But of course, and I love the job that they're doing on the broadcast. Caroline Cameron's fab. She's great. But as soon every time she goes Leila, I'm going, but Caroline, you know it's Leila because you've seen the commercial.
I'll send her a DM. Correct that right away. But just one quick question about the tennis all of it in the same city, Toronto.
Yeah.
Alan Gold brings up, he doesn't think our infrastructure can support.
Well, make it then build it so it can. Right. If they can do it in Cincinnati and Washington, they can do it in Toronto and Montreal. Invest some fucking money. Okay. And make it happen. Or make it less of a draw. Okay. You don't have to have the same size draw. What's the big deal? People are coming to see good tennis. Okay. And what's happening in a lot of these cases too, what's happening is, like, I think if the men and the women were playing at the same venue, I'm not saying that all the top seeds wouldn't get knocked off, but look what's going on in Montreal and Toronto, all the top seeds gone before the quarterfinals, in both cities. But at least we have Felix to hang on to, right? In Montreal, they're going, oh, thank God, Felix, right? Because who wants to watch Joe Blow against Tommy Haas or whatever? I mean, really? I mean, come on. I know it's the final and I know you paid for it. And remember, you're talking to someone who was there when Bianca beat Serena Williams at the what's called the Rogers Cup at the time, when Serena withdrew, right? But didn't withdraw before the match. She withdrew during. She retired.
Right.
And I was livid because it cost me hundreds of dollars for great seats. And I saw her, like, walk her way through three or four games. So the other night when she, you know, retired and all like that, I said, no, you know, Serena is a great player. She is great. But she is an unbelievable, what's the word I'm thinking? She could be a real pain in the ass. Great player. But boy, was she a pain in the ass to a lot, not just her opponents, but to fans in a lot of ways. It was tough to love her sometimes when she berated people. She caused Naomi Osaka to cry. She threatened that line judge. You know, some stuff like that. You know, angry. You know.
Is fabulous. Serena Williams the greatest female tennis player of all time?
Of course she is. Of course.
So we have to put up with a little...
pretty controversial, you know, in those ways there, right? But at the same time, you know, women.
But you also have issues.
Almost
with,
lost her
Tiger Woods. Is Tiger Woods the greatest golfer of all time?
Tiger Woods appears to be the greatest golfer. He hasn't won the most majors of all time, but certainly in the eyes of most people, he's the greatest. He did things that nobody else. Now, did I see every shot that Jack Nicklaus ever took in his career? No, there wasn't television, there wasn't video the way there is now. But, you know, quite frankly, yeah, you could make a good case that Tiger Woods, you know, he's won the most tournaments, tied with Sam Snead at 82, and he's won three fewer majors than Jack. And if you go by majors, Jack is the greatest, if that's your measuring stick. But
One last thing. Your YouTube channel's on fire right now. People really need to tune in live.
Good.
Bring
it on. Stupidest thing in the world. Montreal, Toronto. I'm watching. Where is this in Montreal? Is it in Toronto? When's it up? Sportsnet 1? Sportsnet 360? Come on, man.
So these
every seasons- other. I no issues anywhere else. Since, like I told you, last week in Washington, men and women. Okay. Next week in Cincinnati, men and women. All the majors, men and women. Canada, you go
majors
there.
Are different.
You go there. You go there. Why? Why can't we treat this like a major? Why not? It's our national tournament. Why the fuck not? Instead, I got Danielle and two other people in Montreal, right? Or no, are they in Toronto? I got Brad and I got Rob Falds and I got Caroline. I got Carly Agro. I got Ivanka's. Everybody's everywhere. What the fuck? Just everyone in the same place. Okay? Is Billie Jean King in Montreal or Toronto? She's in Toronto, but she's going to Montreal. Is so-and-so there? Is here? Just bring them all to one place, man. Get the infrastructure. Get it together.
Okay, last point before I'll let you move on. Serena Williams, you had issues with some of her personality, it sounds
like.
Damn
right I do. Of course I do.
But what did you think of the great John McEnroe?
Oh, same thing. Okay. I guess the greatest players in the world can be absolute pricks and assholes.
Well, not Roger.
There are exceptions. And Nadal, you know, these are guys, again, but especially today, especially in this, imagine, look, if McEnroe would have done the stuff that he did in this era, some of the screaming, some of the berating in this era, can you imagine? Honest to God.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Times have changed.
Man, would he have been, he would either be, have been crucified by now, or he would be the most, he would be the greatest public figure in the world. That everyone would want to be like this, like telling people
president.
Fuck right off and shut up and screw you and you're an idiot. And, you know, that was 1981, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, people, there wasn't even video cameras. It was still film. You'd have to process it if it wasn't live. You know what I'm saying? In yes, those days, when he did that, you didn't see the highlights 3 seconds later or even that night on television. You saw it the next day. You know, NBC News was at Wimbledon, and we've, you know, and the NBC had the rights. So the NBC News, and this is what John McEnroe did, you know, and then they sound up and he said, you're an idiot or whatever, all that. That's 1981. If that happened today, holy shit.
I honestly he'd be president of the United States of America.
Oh my God. Anyway, so yeah. And like I said, I'm a Canadian tennis fan. I want to watch my Canadians too, but I want to watch good tennis. But you know, I'm flipping back and forth between two things. It's raining there. It's not raining. You know, have it all in the same place.
Okay, but Hebs.
Because next week when I watch next week, I know they're all in Cincinnati.
A Hebsy fan predict there. You would be complaining that two matches you want to see are happening at the same time.
Like, no, that's different. If it's in the same venue, I'm cool with that because if I'm there live, I can choose which one I want to go to. Right? Anyway.
On fire.
You're damn right. So I have no interest in going this weekend. Glad I didn't buy tickets. I have friends of mine are trying to get rid of their tickets. Anybody? Quarterfinals tonight. Anybody? Less than face value, take them. Because Swiatek's not there. Bianca's not there. Leila's not there. Who else? Sakari, I don't think, is there.
The only ticket that's less popular right now are like the World Junior tickets. Did you see the attendance for the non-Canadian games that were happening? Like 100 people or something.
Close friends and family only. Yeah. And Bianca last night, listen, man, was she expected to win? I figured she'd win. Didn't you, Mike? She's playing the 51st ranked player.
I trust who knows his tennis told me she was a flash in the pan, so I had no expectations.
Right. So seriously, though, did you expect her to win?
Yes.
You did?
Well, you did.
You expected her to win?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Right. I think everyone did. All right. I think it's like, oh, it's okay. She lost to someone we've never heard of before, a 19-year-old. Okay. In fact, Zhang is her name, and I got her mixed up with another player named Zhang, who I thought that's who she was playing, who was a pretty good player a few years ago. But anyway, I'm like, wait a minute, Zhang. And then I looked, I said, well, that's not her. Who's this? She's 51st in the world. She's 19 years old. Bianca kicked the shit out of this one, right? Especially at home. She got the fans. She got everything. Coco's there. The dog is there. The other night, you know, I tried to watch the match, but it was on Sportsnet, whatever, the subscription channel that I don't have that you don't have.
360.
Yeah, whatever.
By the way, I changed everything. I got lots of everything. People on Twitter are surprised that somebody who hosts a sports podcast doesn't have all these sports channels.
People on Twitter?
Somebody on Twitter replied.
One person, Mike.
Well, he's a person.
One. No, it's a bot. It has one follower. Okay. That's right. Because I host a podcast, I should be paying through the nose for all these.
It's a tax write-off.
Once a year?
It's not a business expense.
Well, why don't you do it?
I think I do have them now. Like I changed. I left Rogers for Bell 5 and I have a lot more streaming things now.
All right. Let's take shots at the host because you know he won't pay the extra whatever $10 a month to have every single freaking channel. Right. All right. I got almost all of them, but I don't have all of them.
Okay. And the Prime. So we have Prime. I asked my wife, why do we have Prime? I only watch Fleabag on there. Like I don't watch anything. She's like, oh, it's because I get delivery from Amazon, like free same day delivery or something. So like the whole Prime thing, it's much more than streaming. Like it's a whole delivery service. Anyway, so that's what she told me. We need it for her Amazon orders.
Okay. Got it.
Just throwing that in there.
I watched Bianca last night. Luckily there was no Jays game on, so everybody got to watch it. If not, you'd be fighting. It's true. If not, the Jays are there. Every Sportsnet channel, the main Sportsnets are going to have the Jays, which means Sportsnet 1 is going to have the men's tennis and Sportsnet 360 would have had the women's tennis, right? That's what it would have happened on a normal night if the Jays were on. Luckily there was no game last night. It was rained out the night before. So would have caused even more of a problem. Anyway, so Bianca's out, lost to Miss Zhang of China. The dog we're not going to see anymore. She was very calm after the match, too. Like, oh, you know, I thought I did all right. You know, I would have liked to have won for you guys. But it's all about peace and love and joy, and I'm happy. And that's good. it's good that she's happy and she's in a good frame of mind. But I've never seen anyone that, you know, satisfied after a loss in the third round at home when she was expected to win. There you go. So no Bianca. Top six seeds are out. So the number seven seed, Jessica Pegula, the daughter of the owner of the Buffalo Sabres and the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
Barry Pegula. She's the, I guess she's the favorite now. And, you know, Bianca at her best, and even not at her best, could pulverize any of these women who are left. This was the year. This would have been the year to get into the quarters. This is the year. Because there is no Swiatek and there is no Pliskova. There's like the top seeds are all out. Bianca's not seeded because she hasn't played enough. Her world ranking isn't high enough to deserve a seeding. I mean, a lot of times the seedings are bullshit anyway, right? But this is the this would have been the time, right? There's no Osaka's not there, and Barty is retired, and this Swiatek, who was unbeatable, you couldn't even take a set from this woman. She's out, and so this was the year. It would have been beautiful. What a great run this would have been. But she's not there yet, and she may never reach the pinnacle again. She's a U.S. Open champion. I hope she does. I hope it's a slow, you know, it is a slow process, but let's see some improvement. She's going to play next week. I hope so. And U.S. Open, man, listen, what if she's in top form U.S. Open, makes a run? That'd be great. She's got to serve better, Mike. Way too many, as I've said before, way too many service breaks in women's tennis.
She needs you to help her out, man. Maybe you got to help coach her on the serving.
No, I don't know how to serve, so I'm not going to coach her. And so Felix, the number six seed, Felix Auger-Aliassime, is into the quarterfinals tonight against the number four seed, Casper Ruud of Norway. You want to see that match live? You got to go to Montreal. Medvedev, Fujini, Tsitsipas, all the top seeds eliminated. So this tournament wide open again. And so Felix, he has a chance because I'm looking at the field here. And I'm going, he could beat any of these guys in the quarters. Really? He could beat him. Casper Ruud? You think Felix is, you think he couldn't sleep last night because he's got Casper Ruud? You think Casper Ruud is giving Felix nightmares? Right? And he's at home. He's got the crowd, which is a huge thing. Like even Bianca said, she wouldn't have gotten out of the first round if it wasn't for the crowd. She admitted that the crowd lifted her up and helped her with her first and second round victories. Well, they're going to do that in Montreal, his hometown. That would be awesome. I'll be watching that tonight. So, when a player double faults, Mike, mm-hmm. right? Like when Zhang double faulted in one of the games against Bianca, did you go, yeah, yeah, come on? Or did you just go like this? Like that, like
just pump your fist,
a teeny fist bump, yes. A teeny one, not a yeah, you screwed up fist bump. Yeah, I get it, right? So when I hear people cheer,
uh-huh.
you know, Bianca fans who are just so excited that you know that they cheer when the woman double faults. I'm like, yeah, in other sports, not in tennis, it's classless. It to me is the same as you know a golfer misses a 2-foot putt, you know. And so I didn't like it. Boy, did I get backlash on social media. Holy cow. You can fucking cheer whoever the fuck you want for, motherfucker.
Yeah, people okay? are.
I'm fucking up going, yeah. I'm at home going, yeah, yeah. Fuck double fault again, bitch. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What the holy cow. Really? Really? Seriously, that's what you want. You're right. Rooting for Bianca. I get that. You think Bianca is on the baseline going, yeah, please double fault. Please double fault. I don't know. Maybe she is, but she's not saying it, but not outwardly. Right. And when Zhang double faults, okay, and when any player on the professional circuit double faults, the other player, the opponent does not go, come on! The other player, the opponent right. does not big fist pump. Maybe right. a little teeny fist pump. Maybe just a little, ooh, I got a break there. Because they didn't accomplish anything.
Right.
They stood there and watched the other person fail. Right. They didn't do anything.
Right.
So I just don't get it. But boy, people are like, and Tracy Austin had said that. She had said, no, I don't like when they cheer a double fault. And I went, I'm the same way. Man, first of all, half the people were like, Tracy Austin's a shitty commentator anyway, which has nothing to do with this.
Right. They're just
pointing it out on television. I'm going, oh my God. But man, but like, Mike, do you like again?
Okay. So I should, you know, these people.
What do you think outraged. About this?
Well, I think that there's a code of ethics that exists in tennis and golf that doesn't exist in other sports, right?
Right.
So right. If you are like, if you're not, you know, you gotta forgive some people who weren't like raised to understand the protocols and the ethics of watching tennis live or watching golf live, right? There's these different rules there. Because in baseball, when the guy in the Orioles guy makes an error, we cheer like crazy because he fucked up. Like, yeah, like
right. You know? But wait a sec. Wait. But yeah, baseball is played with a constant din of a crowd. It's the yes. crowd is never, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Never silent.
But this is
football,
what I'm saying.
The crowd is never silent. This hockey, saying, the crowd is never silent. Golf,
right.
Guys
right.
about to putt,
right.
they're
right.
quiet. Right. Tennis, they're about to serve, they're quiet.
Right. Right.
That's all but there so, is to it. It's so been like that since right. time immemorial.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So these idiots right. on Twitter so, just don't understand that this is a different game than football or
did you
or
say
hockey.
Idiots on Twitter?
Well, there's so many idiots on Twitter, right? Trust me, there's idiots on Twitter, but there's idiots everywhere. They just figured out how to publish their crazy thoughts.
Oh my god. Anyway, so you would so you
okay
would
so not. Personally, I'm not going to cheer the double fault
right
if I'm watching it live, but if I'm watching it in my living room, I can cheer the double
well fault. Of course you can, but that's in your living room. So if I'm at the event and somebody cheers the double fault and I want Bianca to win too, I right. turn around and I stare at the person and go, don't do that.
Right.
And then next time Zhang double faults.
Right.
Hopefully this person knows to keep it to yourself. Yeah.
They need to be educated. You
it's
know?
Classless.
Not all of us were so blessed to be raised with golf and tennis in our lives. These are
I
like,
wasn't raised with it, golf and tennis, but at some particular point, if I'm going to watch something, I'd like to know the rules.
Poor
I'd
people
like to know what I can and can't do. Okay. Can I whip it out and take a leak on the person in front of me? Like, you know, like in some of the soccer stadiums in the world.
Oh,
well, I remember my dad telling me the story. First time he went to a soccer match, he's like sitting there down, you know, in the terrace. And he just says, just watch yourself. And the guys above them, they piss into a bag or something like that. Then they throw the bag down to the terrace area and it explodes. And I think like,
that's a whole different
thing. What are you talking about, dad? Who's happening at Maple Leaf Gardens and places like that? anybody care about the World Junior? No, like you said, Mike, you know, friends and family only. And really, first of all, it's in August. And second of all, nobody wants to have anything to do with Hockey Canada. It's very distasteful.
So Canada played last night, but I didn't watch, but was there people like, was it a full arena for
don't
Canada?
Know. I don't know.
Yeah. And again, before this,
what channel was it on?
Well, TSN's always got the World Junior.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
That's like their baby.
I forgot about them. I thought they had the CFL on. I can't keep up.
Well, Canada's playing.
Mike, there used to be one game a week on television when I was growing up. There was one game Saturday night, like, you know what I mean? Right. One, maybe two. Then right. Now they add another sport. Now there's a game every day. Now, like the Blue Jays, if you go back at the Blue Jays TV schedule, the first few years, they had like 20, 25 games on TV. That's it.
Yeah.
That was it, man. Saturday afternoons on CBC. There wasn't midweek at the very beginning. There wasn't. Because right. CBC had other programming. They're not going to waste 3 hours with the Blue Jays. They didn't have numbers like that. You could, are you kidding? You can beg, borrow, or steal. When I was at Global, even we used to have to send the cameras out there to shoot if the game wasn't televised anywhere. You have to go send your cameraman out there to shoot raw video and right. bring it back. You right. know, seventh inning, here's Damaso Garcia. I'm serious. We're so spoiled now.
Crazy. No doubt. There wasn't even a TSN back then. So what? Where were you going to see these games? CTV had like one game a week or whatever, and then CBC,
yeah. There was like even before that. I'm telling you, yeah. CBC would show a game on Saturday afternoons. 25 games. Remember, they were showing Expos as well.
Right.
Expos right. had been on for years. Former Tennessee Governor Bill Haslam is expected to become the Nashville Predators majority owner by July 2025. That's going to be bad for hockey. Because this guy Haslam is an asshole. After same-sex marriage was legalized nationally by the U.S. Supreme Court in 2015, Haslam, the governor of Tennessee at the time, refused to legalize same-sex marriage at the state level or recognize out-of-state marriages of same-sex couples. Okay? Tennessee. In 2017, Haslam signed yet another bill, this one requiring words be interpreted using their, quote, natural and ordinary meaning in Tennessee, a move specifically aimed at terms such as husband or wife rather than neutral terminology such as spouse. Okay, this guy is a fucking piece of work. Quote, I think the Preds have a really good track record of diversity, Haslam told the Tennessean recently, and it's not going to change. Luke Prokop, a minor league player in the Predators organization, last July became the first openly gay player under NHL contract. Guess what? His boss is the owner, the soon-to-be majority owner, this guy Haslam, the Predators. I wonder how Luke feels playing for an organization where the owner of the parent team tried to sign a bill into legislation, into law, okay? Denying the recognition of same-sex marriages.
Wow.
Fucking 2022. Motherfucker. Well, I'm sorry, but I would not be comfortable with this guy as owner. And the NHL should not allow this man to become an owner in their league, especially in light of recent events. And if I find out that the Toronto Maple Leafs, when they go to Nashville, when this guy is the owner, or even when they host the Nashville Predators, don't say something or make some type of reference to their disgust, I would be very disappointed. Okay? Especially now, in light of what's going on, that this guy, this fucking rich prick that, oh, I'll buy the fucking team. Yeah. I used to be the governor of Tennessee. That's right. Oh, yeah. We got a gay boy in our organization, huh? That's dangerous. Someone like that is fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
In this day and age. You want inclusion? You want the National Hockey League to be the type of a place where you feel safe? I'm not talking about being an employee of a team, member club. I'm talking about being a fan, being a sponsor. Look what's going on here with, you know, and sexual assault. Listen, one is, it all comes down to one thing, and that is there are people out there, evil people, nasty people out there who are in positions of authority, all right? Positions of influence. I don't have to tell you what's going on in freaking Mar-a-Lago. Come on, man. Wake up. The National Hockey League has to disassociate itself from this guy. It has to take away his ownership. Or else every time I look at the Nashville Predators, I'm going to think of you know, the restrictions that their owner tried to put on the people of the state of Tennessee, not just Nashville Predators fans. Jesus Christ.
Like, I have no tolerance for homophobia. Your own.
Nashville Predators, sorry, can't root for this team.
But this is that slippery slope. I heard you and Humble and Fred this week, and you know, you and Howard, he loves his golf like you do, but talking about, you know, LIV versus PGA and all this, and then you get into that whole discussion of like LIV is financed by, you know, the Saudis, and then they're misogyny, homophobia, like it's all embedded and baked in.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I think if you were to go and look at who's run, look, you know that the more money there is involved, a lot of times there's a lot of evil involved as well. And so are we going to, what's the word they use? Like if you're hiring, you're going to vet. How do you want to vet owners that have billions of dollars that are going to help save the league and keep hundreds, thousands of people employed?
Precisely. Right?
You know what I mean? You really want to go to Walmart and go, hey, this guy's Sam Walton, some of the stuff. Are you kidding me? You're going to go down that road? Is it fair to do that? I mean, you know, you're talking about people's livelihoods. If I said to you, Mike, you work for a company where this guy here was, you know, here's some of the crimes he had committed or whatever. You think it's easy to say, oh, well, I have a job. I earn a living from this type of thing. I don't question these types of things, right? So, you know, you can pick and choose when it comes to ethics and all that. But when it comes to your livelihood, how many jobs are we talking about here? And that's why I say, if someone came to you and said, here's $30 million, and you said, where's this money coming from, right? Can I sleep at night taking this money? And the person says to you, can you sleep at night now, wondering if your kids have enough money for their college education, if you can retire comfortably, if your parents, need help or all that stuff. And you go, $30 million, or, you know, and so that's I'm sure we go through that all the time. Everyone goes through that at some time or another. Which road do I go down?
And that's why I suspect that, Haslam will be owner of the Predators. And when the Leafs go to Nashville to play, I don't expect to hear an eloquent speech from Austin Matthews denouncing the homophobia.
I think the NHL should, you know, be upfront about this. I'm sure this isn't the first time that someone's pointed out that this Haslam guy is not the owner that you want, is, you know, could be the Norm fucking Sterling of, or worse, of the NHL. You don't want an owner like that. You don't want that.
And much like with the Saudis, I'll just I'm very brief on this, except the root of this homophobia typically is organized religion. You notice that? Like,
oh, yeah, of course. Oh, absolutely. No,
I know.
Absolutely. Of course it is. Of course it is.
I know. I'm not blowing anyone's mind with that.
Of course it is. Organized religion of any type. It doesn't matter what the religion is.
No, I didn't specify because obviously
it matters not what the religion is. Exactly. Right. Oh, no, I got you.
Right. It's all very gross to me.
Very revivalish. I got you. I hear you. All right, golf, you're talking about it. The FedEx playoffs have begun. So you know the deal with this. Top 125 golfers on the PGA Tour qualified for the FedEx playoffs, okay? First tournament is this week. It's the St. Jude Classic in Memphis. They play 72 holes. The top 70 players move on to the BMW Championship. So the guys that make, right? So the top 70. And then next week's the BMW Championship. And then from there, the top 35 play in the final, the Tour Championship. In Atlanta the week after that. So this is big stuff. And this is the one where the three LIV golfers, you know, went to a judge to say that they wanted to, they had qualified and they should play. And they were turned down by the judge, which was a victory for PGA. This whole PGA tournament LIV thing, crazy. Anyway, so what's going on here is now you got guys fighting to be in the top 70 so they can play next week and win more money. This is beautiful. So you got Siwoo Kim and JJ Spahn, 8-under 62. Siwoo Kim and JJ Spahn, not two names you would think of amongst, you know, the top golfers on the PGA Tour. But remember, a lot of them have moved on to another tour. And so these are kind of the names you're getting. We got Canadians, all kinds of Canadians in this tournament. We got Taylor Pendrith and Adam Svensson at -4. We got Corey Connors in the hunt at -3, along with Mackenzie Hughes. We got Adam Hadwin at -1. We got Nick Taylor, unfortunately, +4. Now, Masters winner Scottie Scheffler was playing with Open champion Cam Smith. Cam Smith is going to the LIV Tour, apparently, after this season is over. And there's video of Scottie Scheffler walking in front of a kneeling or a crouching Cam Smith as he's lining up his putt. Walks right, like, right in front of him. Now, you just don't do that. He didn't walk in his line. In other words, he didn't walk where between the ball and the hole. But he walked in front of Cam Smith, who's kneeling, you know, reading his putt. Like, kind of a dick move. But it might just show how much acrimony there is between players of the PGA Tour and players who are on or are heading to or might be going to the LIV Tour.
This is a schism, Hebsy. It's a schism.
It's a schism. It's becoming very divisive.
Get me my popcorn. I might, you know, this is what I'm here right. for. What's going on here? Rich people fighting. Yeah.
The NBA is permanently retiring jersey number 6 in honor of the late Bill Russell. Players who are already wearing it, like LeBron, who switched from 23 to 6, by the way, last year. It's going to be grandfathered in. If you're already wearing 6, you keep wearing it until you retire, and no more 6s. So that number 6 joins Jackie Robinson's 42 in Major League Baseball and Wayne Gretzky's 99 in the NHL. Permanently retired numbers. No one will ever wear them again in that sport.
What are your thoughts on this, Hebsy?
On retiring the number?
Yeah.
Oh, fabulous idea. Great idea. Absolutely. The big greatest champion ever in any sport. 11 championships. The greatest.
And his record in like must win elimination games.
14-0.
That's insane.
Never lost a must win elimination. Never lost an elimination game.
That's insane. Take that, Tom Brady.
Crazy, eh? Finally, should the Toronto Maple Leafs retire jersey number 21? The legend, Toronto Maple Leaf legend, Boreas Salming has been diagnosed with ALS, the crippling muscular disease, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease. The 71-year-old was one of my favorite players. I spent a lot of time in his company back in the day when I covered the Maple Leafs. He's a strong man. He'll fight this every step of the way. Hang in there, King. Fabulous guy. Tell you a quick story. I'm going to put this now. Boria and a neighbor of mine was good friends with Boria. So I would see Boria quite often, right? In passing and, you know, the occasional social gathering nearby, that type of a thing. I knew him for quite a few years, as a matter of fact. You know, when I started covering the Leafs, he had been in the league for like 3 years. He was fabulous.
Yes.
Anyone that ever saw Boria Salming in his prime, and I'm talking 74, 73, 74, 75, 76, he was unbelievable, man. He was as good as Dennis Potvin. He was as good as Larry Robinson. He was as good as Brad Park. Okay? He was fabulous. Toronto had never seen a player like this who would lift you out of your seat He would get the puck behind the net. He'd rush up the ice. He would lift you out of your seat. Boreas Alme. It was great. It's great.
Now, Hebsy, just a little, I know we've got this wrong in the past where we're living in the olden days when number 5 and 6 were the only retired numbers, but actually now there's 17 more players and some of them share numbers, but number 21 has been retired for Salming.
No, it's but I don't been... mean that, but I don't mean that.
Oh, what do you mean?
I'm talking about a full on ceremony and well, you know, ceremony, it's tough. I mean, see, the thing is that it's been blurred as to, you know, whether you've, how you've honored this person, you've taken their number out of circulation, you've retired the jersey. It's only Boreas Alming's number. Is 27 only Daryl Sittler's number, only Frank Mahovlich's number. Do you know what I mean? The New York Yankees retired number 8. It was Bill Dickey's number. It was Yogi Berra's number. Do you see what I'm saying? So we've now reached the point where, okay, you know, wall of honor, retired number, retired jersey, all that type of thing. It's just gone on for many years. The first ever retired jersey was not Lou Gehrig's number 4. It was Ace Bailey many years before that. Fucking got his skull cracked by fucking Eddie Shore. Right. And Conn Smythe, like, I'm telling you, Conn Smythe, like, when that game was over, right? Or when he was diagnosed with a broken skull, would never play again. Conn Smythe said no one will ever wear number 6 for the Maple Leafs again, and immediately organized a benefit game, an NHL All-Star benefit game. 1934, that was the season, all right? To raise money to help for Ace Bailey's medical expenses. Yeah, it was the first, 1934. Okay, and not until Ace Bailey, when he was an off-ice official at Maple Leaf Gardens working for the National Hockey League, right, when he saw Ron Ellis play, who was wearing number 8 for the Maple Leafs when he first came up. And a few years later, he said, I'd like to take my number 6 out of retirement. I'd like Ron Ellis to wear it. Can you imagine what an honor that must have been for Ron Ellis? Can you imagine that? This number has been retired since 1934, over 30 years. Okay. And here's Ace Bailey saying, I'd like Ron Ellis to wear it. I think he exemplifies my game. Wow. So Ron Ellis wore that till his career ended, and then no one's worn it since. That was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool story. And of course, Bill Barocco's number 5 because he died in a plane crash. And yeah, so 21, God, 21, 27. Yeah, I think you think of numbers and how closely associated they are with people.
Well, 17, 93, just to bring it to some younger audience, these are two numbers that, you know, Matt Sundin's 13 has been retired.
Yeah, and you know what?
Dion's 14.
And you know what? It's funny because if you look back now at it, I mean, you could retire like so many numbers. It's not unlike Hall of Fame. If a player goes into the Hall of Fame, right? Do you retire that player's number? Do you retire jerseys of players that have gone to the Hall of Fame? Like, was the Blue Jays' idea, let's retire 32 and 12 because they're both in the Hall of Fame, and no one will ever wear them for the Jays again. And then, of course, they took back the Alomar one. But again, so should there be some kind of standard, or can a team do whatever the hell they want? Guess what? I want you in the Hall of Fame. You should be in the Hall of Fame. Your number.
It's all marketing, right? It's all marketing.
So now it is. See, now that's exactly right, Mike. Right. It's marketing. Let's have a ceremony. We'll sell third jerseys. Exactly. You got it. 100%. 100%. All right. That's it for episode 297 of Hebsy on Sports. Thanks, as always, to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. And did a great job keeping the show together because we had some technical issues that, oh, man, I don't even want to tell you. Right. That threatened the existence of this very podcast. So thanks.
But look, Hebsy. We did it.
Thanks to our fabulous sponsor, Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. Go to crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time online to save big. And thanks to you for allowing us into your headspace. Bit of a schedule change as we're back with our next episode next Thursday, the 18th of August at 9 a.m. Eastern time. If you want to tune in next Friday, you'll get the show. It's just we'll have recorded it the day before. But still, nothing wrong with that at all. If Friday's your thing, that's good. So Thursday next week or whenever you want to listen. Until then, so long for now.